thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament reading for today is from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. This can be found on page 1102 in your pew Bible. On his missionary journeys, Paul often encountered opposition to his ministry that forced him to leave a place of witness. In Corinth, however, he persisted in preaching the word despite hostility, resulting in many people believing in Jesus and being baptized in the name of the Lord. A reading from Acts chapter 18, beginning with the first verse. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own head. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thanks be God. Kind of feel like we could all just sit around and have a good cry. But you know what we're going to do instead is we're going to go to the firm foundation. We're going to continue our preaching series. This is what holds us steady even in the midst of so much change. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always love hearing people's stories of faith. And usually when people come to the church for the first time, I love to ask them that. "Tell me your testimony," I'll say. And last year I heard someone's story of faith that really caught my attention, and I want to share it with you right now. I'm looking right at him. It's Todd. Todd back here from almost in the back. Just wave your hands so people know who I'm talking about. He gave me permission to share his story of how he came to Christ. It's a really great story. If I get any of the details wrong, he'll correct me in Emmaus Hall afterward. It was a long time ago. He was working for a major publication. He was working for Sports Illustrated. And he had a boss who really impressed him. There was something different about this boss. She was wiser and calmer, and she just had something extra about her. And he was noticing that she was the head of marketing and her career was just on an upward trajectory. She was rising in position and in place. And he was really impressed with her career trajectory. But then something really surprising happened. His boss announced that she was going to be resigning. Even though her career was upwardly mobile, she was going to be resigning to do something kind of weird. She was going to become a pastor. She's going to join her husband's ministry, leave the corporate world, and become a pastor. And Todd was really bewildered by this. He was really intrigued by this. And he went into her office and asked her, what's going on here? What's different about you?" And eventually she took him out to lunch and she answered that question. And the answer to that question is Jesus. And over that lunch, she shared the gospel with him. She walked him through it. And many other people came along with this as well. They formed a Bible study, and there was much discipleship that happened after that. But this woman in the workplace making Christ known changed Todd and many other people's lives. Todd walked away from his encounters with his boss saying, "Whatever it is that she has, I want that." And he was attracted to Jesus because this woman in the workplace had made Christ known. If you've been coming to Stanwich longer than a moment, you know what our vision is. It's to know Christ and make him known. And when we hear that, sometimes we maybe understand the first part, knowing Christ. It's what we do here in the sanctuary. It's what we do in our life groups. We study the Bible. We pray. We sing to him. We know Christ. But that second half, making him known, seems a bit of a mystery. We wonder, make Christ known? When? And to whom? And how do we make Christ known? Well, in today's scripture, it actually answers those three specific questions. When do we make Christ known? To whom are we called to make Christ known? And how? We turn to the scriptures to learn. I love the book of Acts because it gives us chapter and verse. It gives us all these stories of the early church, of early Christianity as it spread through the Roman Empire. It did a fantastic job of making Christ known. So let's look into the scripture today to find out how to be like Todd's boss was and make Christ known. And we will get these questions answered. When do we do that? To whom? And how? Let's begin with when. This is Acts chapter 18, beginning with the first verse. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. By the way, if you're wondering, this is an actual historical event. The story of Acts is not just a made-up myth. It actually happened in history, and you can go find historical record of the Emperor Claudius commanding all the Jews to leave Rome, and this is the Acts version of that same story. Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. Paul went to see them. Verse 3, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. I always think about Paul as the one who authored most of the New Testament, who went around preaching and raising up churches. But that's not all he did. He also had to make a living for himself. He was a tent maker by trade. He had a job. He had to earn income. And he found Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth, and he, as it turns out, we're going to learn in a later verse, he's with them for a year and a half. Can you picture Paul with these tent makers working? It's backbreaking work making tents in the ancient world, turning animal fur into skins that you would wrap around poles and live in them. It was a lot of work. I just picture Paul and Priscilla and Aquila working long hours under the hot sun. And what do we learn that Paul is doing in the workplace, as it were? He's making Christ known. He's sharing the gospel. There's a lot of opportunity for conversations when you're co-laboring with somebody. So when do we make Christ known? Well, the workplace is a great time to do it. We spend a lot of time with our coworkers, but that's not the only place. That's not the only time. We continue the story in verse 4. And Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Sabbath is the day of rest. So when is it a good time to make Christ known? When you're at work and when you're at rest. And we learn in the previous chapter that Paul found himself in a place called the Areopagus, which is like the public square. It's where the philosophers went and debated whatever topics were on their mind of the day. Paul went and made Christ known in that place too, in public. We learn in another story in Acts that when he's in prison, he talks about Christ constantly. You couldn't shut this guy up. It says in one verse that he shared about Christ from the sun rising to the sun setting. He just talked about Christ all day long in jail. So when do we make Christ known? When we're at work, when we're at rest, when we're in the public square, when we're in private, when we're in trouble, when we're in success. That's when we can make Christ known. In other words, all the time. All the time we can make Christ known. All right, then the next question was, to whom? To whom do we make Christ known? That's what the text answers in the next few verses. You might assume, based on the first move of this sermon, that if we're called to make him known all the time, that the answer to the next question would be, make him known to everyone. It's not quite that simple, actually. We make Christ known to the people that God chooses for us to make Christ known to, and no one else. We're going to discover that in Paul's story. He gets a little bit frustrated, but let's continue on in the story so you can hear it from the word. Verse 5 is where we left off. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." You see, Paul kept trying. This is the third time in the narrative in Acts when he keeps trying to persuade the Jews, and they keep rejecting him. They, in fact, beat him up. It doesn't go well at all. It makes sense that Paul would want to convey the gospel to the Jews because he himself had grown up Jewish. He had a heart for his own people, and he really wanted them to know what he knew. But here in this moment, finally, he says, "You know what? I shake the dust off my clothes." In other words, he's really frustrated, and he's saying, "I'm giving up on this." And he has this idea that appears, at least in this verse, like it's his own idea. He says, "You know what? I'm going to go to the Gentiles only." But if you go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 15, you see that's what God had told him to do from the very beginning. He said, "Paul, you're a chosen instrument of mine to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." If Paul had only listened to that specific instruction at the beginning, he might not have found himself so frustrated. He's shaking off the dust. There's that other place in the Gospels where Jesus sends the disciples out two by two, and he says, "If they reject you, shake the dust off your sandals and move on." It's an ancient world symbol of saying, this isn't working for either one of us. But Paul is so frustrated, finally he says, "You know what, I'm going to go to the Gentiles." God called him to do that in the first place. Why am I slowing down on this point? Because I've seen in an individual level, in so many conversations with so many people in my life and in the church, a similarity. We get frustrated often when we're trying to share the truth of who Jesus is with someone we love, and they keep rejecting us. I have a lot of people who come and sit in my office, and they say, "Pastor, will you pray with me for my son-in-law, for example? He just won't hear it from me. Every time we have family dinner, every Thanksgiving meal, every time we hang out, I keep telling him over and over and over again he should be a Christian, and it's only causing frustration." Well, look what Paul finally realized. He was released from that task. And he ends up seeing that it's not just that God's saying to Paul, "I don't care about the Jews." God will reach the Jews one way or the other. But God is saying, "I didn't call you specifically to share the gospel with these people." And this is the prayer that I usually invite people into when they're sitting in my office frustrated with their son-in-law or their neighbor or their coworker. I usually invite them to say, "Lord, will you send someone else? A neighbor, a coworker, someone in the carpool line. Will you send the person of your choosing to make Christ known to that person?" You can be released from the frustration realizing that there is a Savior and it's not you. This is exactly what happens to Paul. He shakes the dust off his clothes. He moves on from them. But look what happens. God sends someone else. He preaches to the Gentiles, but look what happens next. Verse 7, he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. That's a Gentile name. Okay, he's no longer trying to convert the Jewish people in Corinth. He goes to this Gentile, and look at where he lives, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Okay, and then look what happens, verse 8. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. You can save yourself a lot of frustration if you stop trying to convince the person it's not even God's will for you to reveal the gospel to. Pray that someone else would come into their life. Maybe they live next door, like Crispus, like Titius and Justus live next door. and we can trust that God will make Christ known through someone. So to whom do we make Christ known? Just the people that God wills us to. And you can tell sometimes if you're constant, it's like hitting your head against the wall, trying to share Christ with somebody. It might be time to, you don't have to shake your clothes or say, blood be on your heads, like Paul did. But you can be released from that and then pray, Lord, will you send Atitius Justice? Will you send somebody into their life to make Christ known to them? And there's this beautiful promise that God gives to Paul through a vision in verse 9 as he continues to preach in Corinth. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. You see, he had been beat up in the last town. Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, Jesus said to him. No one will attack you to harm you. Now, he does get attacked in the next town, but Jesus is talking about this town. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. I love that phrase. God knows who is in your orbit. God knows who's in your place, your workplace. God knows who's in your school and in your family, who he is choosing to claim as his own. And he says, don't be silent. Keep speaking. If they reject you, pray that someone else would come into their life to share. But they're my people. And God gives this beautiful promise to Paul. Okay, so when do we make Christ known? All the time. To whom? To those that God calls us to reach. How do we do it? What's the methodology? How do we actually reach people? How do we make Christ known to the people that he calls us to? Well, I'm going to go back to verse 8 to see something really packed into this one phrase that gives us the answer to how this is done. The second half of verse 8 says, many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. Hearing Paul, they believed. What did they hear Paul say? He told them about this man, Jesus, who came into the world as God's one and only Son, who taught people how to live, who blessed people by healing the sick and by feeding the hungry, by raising up those who were oppressed. But he wasn't just a good moral teacher. He also claimed to be the Son of God. And he went not only to sacrificially love people, but also to sacrificially die for people, to take the consequences of the sin and the evil that all of us have in our own hearts, to take the consequences of that upon himself. And he went to the cross and he died in our place. He received the punishment, the consequence for all of our sins. And in exchange, he gave us the eternal blessing that he deserved. He conquered sin on the cross, and then he was placed in the tomb, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He walked out of the tomb, and he conquered death itself in his resurrection. And now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, where he rules over the universe. He is our Savior on the cross, and he is our Lord seated on the throne of the universe. That's the gospel. That's what the people in Corinth heard Paul say, and they believed. It's the word of the gospel. It's important, Christians, that as we make Christ known, we say it too. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. I've heard this expression, perhaps you've heard it too, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You've heard this? Sounds kind of nice. It's not really biblical. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You have to give a reason for the blessing that you're giving people. Listen, if you see a hungry person and you give them a plate of rice, and if you do that for 100 days in a row, and they're blessed by that plate of rice, and then you walk away from that engagement without ever saying the reason for your generosity, the reason being Jesus, that person will have a full belly for 100 days, but you will have walked away from them without actually sharing the full gospel. Faith in Jesus comes from hearing. When Todd went into his boss's office and had lunch with her and said, what's different about you? She said, Jesus. Can you guys repeat after me? Jesus.
Jesus.
See? You have to say it. And when someone comes in up to you and says, what's different about you? I want you to say this now. Say it.
Jesus.
Yes. We make Christ known. Not just with deeds, but also with words, in particular the word, the name, above all names. There's power in that name. So how do we make him known? By saying, by describing the gospel of Jesus. Many, it says, hearing Paul believed and were baptized. They were baptized. That's the next step. Once you hear and believe the gospel, once you realize what happened on the cross should have happened to you, then you say, what's next in my life? Well, what's next is baptism. Baptism is a spiritual, it's a mystical participation with what happened on the cross. Just as he was put on the cross and died and put into the tomb and rose out of the tomb, as we submerge under the waters of baptism and reemerge, we die to ourselves and we live for Christ. That's what baptism is. It's a sacrament. We do the same thing when we come to the communion table. We experience that great exchange. So it's word, the gospel preached, and sacrament. That's how we continue to make Christ known, word and sacrament. When I was ordained as a minister 20-something years ago, my title became Minister of Word and Sacrament. And both of those are packed into this one phrase right here. How did Paul make Christ known in Corinth? He preached the gospel and he baptized people. By the way, we are having one more baptism this summer. Next Sunday, after the 10:45, we're bringing that portable hot tub back out of the basement. Since we announced this last week, we have 6 people signed up to be baptized next Sunday, so come and celebrate them or come be plunged into the baptism waters as well. It's awesome. Guys, this is how the kingdom grows. This is how we reach the next generation, word and sacrament. I've been asked this as I'm about to head off into a ministry with college students. I've been asked, how are you going to reach Gen Z or whatever they're called now? Gen A, I think we've turned the whole alphabet over. How are you going to reach them? With TikTok or with some whiz-bang program? And I've been answering people, I'm going to use the same method, the same approach that's worked for every generation since Christ. Word and sacrament. Preaching of the gospel, baptism and communion. He's been faithful with those tools of evangelism for all these years. I have a feeling he's going to be faithful in the next generation as well. You can take this into the army too, brother. How are you going to reach all those chaplains, all those soldiers? No whiz-bang program is going to reach them. Word and sacrament, the gospel, and baptism and communion. And for you as well, in your spheres of influence. When should you make Christ known? When are we called to make Christ known? When you're at work, when you're at rest, when you're in public, when you're in private, when you're in trouble, when you're experiencing success. To whom are we called to make Christ known? The people that God shows us and calls us to make him known to. And no one else. There's freedom in that. How do we do it? Say it with me now. Jesus. Yes, saying his name, explaining the gospel, and then inviting people into sacraments. The sacraments usually happen in church. So that's your opportunity to invite people into the full life of Christ is right here. So I just want to conclude now by praying this promise. I love this vision that Paul received from Jesus as he's in Corinth and as he's making Christ known. Jesus appeared to him in verse 9. In a vision. And I want to speak this over us today. Because if the vision and the promise from Christ was true to Paul as he made Christ known, Jesus is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the promise was true to him, it can be true for us as well as we seek to make him known. So I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. I'm going to take some liberties with the names of places and try to speak this blessing and this promise over us. I'm going to say it especially for you, Pastor David. But for all of us as we go out into our spheres of influence, making Christ known. So receive this as if it's from the Lord himself. And the Lord said, the Lord says to you, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. and no one will attack you or harm you. For I have many in the armed forces. I have many on that college campus. I have many in your workplace. I have many in your family. I have many in Greenwich and in Stamford and in Fairfield and Westchester counties. I have many, God says, who are my people. Now let us go out and make Christ known. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.